Let's just, can you just pray? Pray for me. Jesus, I just pray, Lord, that you just take what I've got to say this morning, Lord Jesus, and that you will just use it for your glory, Lord, and you'll speak to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So I love a journey. When you're watching Strictly or something like that and they say there's a J word and they talk about the journey, I actually really like that. And sometimes I'll be having a conversation with my mum and she'll be saying, but this person's really good. And I'm like, mum, they're not going to win because they haven't been on the same journey. And I don't know whether you love the journey as well, but often it's not the most successful people and the best who are at the start. It's the people we like to see the arc of progress, of how they've improved. And also we just love to see people on a journey of self-discovery on whether it's a reality TV. And I love like a good story or a good film where somebody is plucked out of obscurity. They maybe don't know who they are on the inside and they discover who they are and then maybe become the hero of the story. I love that. And I love people's journey. We've heard about people's journeys this morning from different places and in different places in their lives and how God has brought them. And we are blessed this morning to hear their stories of where God has taken them from one place and brought them to another. And they're only on the start of their journey of what God is going to do in their lives. And I was reading a story a few weeks ago about somebody who is on a journey in the Bible. It's a story that we're going to talk about. And for some reason, and don't switch off here if you're not a Star Wars fan, but for some reason it reminded me of Star Wars. It's probably because I've been surrounded by Star Wars from our eldest to our youngest. And if you don't like Star Wars, you've just got to lump it in our house. So but there's just something about this story that reminded me of Star Wars. So today I'm going to talk to you about a journey and the rise of Mephibosheth, which is not that easy to say. So if I get tripping over my words today, you're just going to have a bit of grace with me. But if you are a Star Wars fan, you will know that every time film starts, it starts with a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Did you add that to there? And Damien's been shushing up my slide. And in a galaxy far, far away. And then you get this little kind of story, like a little, you know, bit that goes up, which tells you about the background of the story. So our story today, I'm going to tell you a bit of the background. It's a long time ago in a land far away, there was a shepherd named David. Now, you may know the story of David. He was just a shepherd boy. He was chosen to be king, and he was chosen to be anointed and chosen as king. And he came to prominence through the slaying of a giant, and he killed Goliath, and then he went on to win many battles. The problem was there was a king called Saul who did not like David and was quite jealous of him. And he sought to kill him and destroy him. So David spent many years in hiding and just in fear of his life. But David refused to touch King Saul's life. He refuses to touch God's anointed one. And he had, the thing about David, he had great character and he had a heart after God. And Jonathan, the son of Saul, he saw that in David and they became the best friends. And they became like brothers. They made a covenant together that they said that they would die for one another if they needed to. They loved each other so much. Jonathan saw in David such a heart for God and for somebody who was the rightful heir to the throne. After many years of living his life in fear and running away, King Saul and Jonathan were killed in a bloody battle on the same day. And as a result of that, people raised up against his whole family. So all of his sons and grandsons were killed apart from one. And that was Mephibosheth. And it says in 2 Samuel 4, but verse 4, that he was taken. He was only 5 years old when this happened. And he was taken by his nanny. But in the rush, he was dropped and his feet were crippled and he was lame and he could no longer walk. And she took him to a far off place in the desert to live in hiding, which is where it reminds me of Star Wars, you see. Like he's in hiding. He's living in fear for his life. And he doesn't really know who he truly is. And this is where we pick up the story today. So in 2 Samuel 9, we're going to read. David asked, "Is there anyone still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba, and they summoned him to appear before David. And the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "At your service," he replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" And Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. And Ziba answered, "He is at the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lodabar." See, that sounds like Star Wars right there. Lodabar. Anyway, so King David had him brought from Lodabar, from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. And when Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, "Mephibosheth, at your service," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore you to all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" And then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's steward, and said to him, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table." And on to verse 11, it says, "Then Ziba said to the king, 'Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do.' So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons, and Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table, and he was lame in both feet." Now, I was reading that story a couple of weeks ago, and I was actually really moved by it, and I actually had tears in my eyes, not just because it reminded me of Star Wars, but I just think there's a few things from this story that we can draw out today to show us something of the grace of God and the goodness of God, and something about Mephibosheth's journey that can speak to us today. And the first thing is that Mephibosheth was brought from far away to close. He was living in hiding in a far-off land. He was living in the desert, in shame. He was seen as an enemy of the king. And he probably thought that that was what he's going to be for the rest of his life. And there was nothing that Mephibosheth did to come close. He was sent for, he was chosen, and he was brought back to the king because the king wanted to remember him. Not because of what he'd done, and not because of what he could give him. But he was brought because David wanted to show kindness and goodness and love for the sake of Saul and for the sake of his good friend Jonathan. It was nothing that Mephibosheth had done. It was David's initiative, David's love, and David's favor that brought him close. And you see, I think that is such a picture of, David is just a little picture, a little reflection of God for us. The Bible says that we were all separated from God and we all have sinned and live far from God's ways. And for all of us, we can be brought far away from God to close. All the people here, some of them grew up in church, but maybe they were far away and God wanted to bring them close to him. And the Bible says in Romans 5 verse 8 that God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It was God's initiative. It was God's love and it was God's favor that brought you and I, gave us the opportunity to draw close to God. It was nothing that we had done. We, in ourselves, we've all done things wrong, and God knew that we couldn't pay for that. We couldn't approach a holy God. We couldn't know this holy, amazing God as friend. And so he sent his son Jesus into the world, and he was showing in doing that of how much he loves us, how much he wanted to be a God who is present with us, who is part of our lives. He wanted to be king to us. And so he sent Jesus to show his love and grace into the world. And when Jesus died on the cross, an awful death as an innocent man, he was paying for the sins that you and I have committed. And throughout all generations, he paid for that through his blood. In Ephesians 2 verse 13, it says, "But now in Christ, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Jesus." I think that's really good news. And many of us here can testify that God has brought us from far away to close. But even as Christians, we can live our lives like we know that God is there, but we live our lives far away from him. We can feel distant from him, and we can live our lives. You know, maybe he's the last place to go when we've got a problem. We try and sort it out ourselves. But actually, we need, like Caleb was saying, to actually surrender and give our lives to Jesus and draw close to him. And I feel like God is encouraging us this morning, wherever you are at, to draw close to you. Maybe you don't know God. I recommend the Alpha course to you. That is a really great thing to come and teach you more about God. But many of us here, we know God, but we live our lives far away from him. And the Bible says when we draw close to God, he will draw close to us. And I encourage you to do that. So Mephibosheth was brought from far away to close, and we can be too. The second thing that I think this story shows is that Mephibosheth was brought from a place of shame to a place of honor. And you can see it in him. When he comes to David, he's bowing down, and David's saying, "Do not be afraid, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore you." He's clearly afraid, and he's coming. I kind of get that picture if you know the story of the prodigal son, where he has wished his father dead and taken the inheritance and gone and squandered it all and then lived a life of sin and then come to the point where he's at the end of his own resources and eating with the pigs, and he thinks, okay, well, maybe I'll just go back and I'll say that I've sinned against my father and I'm not worthy to be called his son, but maybe he'll take me as a hired servant. And he bows down to his father and says that. And in that story, the father, he covers his shame by putting a robe of righteousness on him. And he says, "Put the sandals on him. He's a slave no more. Put the ring on his finger. He is my son. Let's kill the cat calf. That's all right. Fat calf and have a party." And he is so happy because this son of his who is dead is now alive. He was lost and now he's found. And I kind of, when I was reading this, I was sort of thinking about that story and imagining that maybe Mephibosheth was feeling that way, that he was coming to him and he was bowed before him in fear and trembling and saying, "Maybe, just maybe, I could be his servant. I don't have much to offer." And you get the impression that he'd lived a life of shame all of his life, and maybe that's where he thought he would stay, that he was ashamed of the very name of his family. People had spoken over his family about the downfall of his grandfather Saul. And, you know, and even he even goes on to say, you know, "Who am I that you would even consider a dead dog like me?" He's even speaking negative words over himself. And he's living in a place of shame, and he doesn't feel like he's worthy. And it's just a beautiful picture. David just seems to ignore the fact that he's sort of bowed down. He says, "Come on, you know, I'm going to provide for him. You servants, come on, get working. This one is going to be at my table. He's not just going to be a servant. He's going to be a son, and he's going to sit at my table like one of the sons." You know, Mephibosheth's name means exterminator of shame or shame destroyer. And he must have even felt like his name was a curse to him, that his name was worth, you know, that, "Oh gosh, who am I? I'm not destroying any shame. I'm just living in shame, in a place of shame." But that was his name. His destiny was to break shame. And then David takes him from a place of shame to a place of honor. And shame is exterminated in his life. And I felt like when I was preparing this that maybe there's some of us who are even ashamed of our own name or ashamed of our own family and feel like that is a word over us, a curse over us. But God can break that. He can take us from a place of shame to honor. And you know, in a world where there are people walking around in shame, where statistics tell us that in 2018 that 1 in 6 young people self-harmed, and where we see celebrities who are so ashamed about what they've done and the subsequent trial by social media and the press that they feel no option but to take their own lives. And when I'm working with young people and I'm talking to them, and they are looking for worth, and they're feeling worthless, and they're looking for worth in the likes of social media, and they're looking for the worth in products which say you are worth it but actually doesn't bring them any worth. We need a God who can lift us from a place of shame to a place of honor, and one that can disregard the labels that other people have put on us, and even the names that we call ourselves. We desperately need a king who will invite us in, who will disregard those labels and will show us kindness. We hear this hashtag, be kind, but people don't know how to be kind because they need a God to be kind to them first, and we need to be able to receive that kindness. And I think that is a journey for many of us. But God can, we can move from shame to honor. You know, in Ephesians 1 verse 6 to 7, it says, and God raised us up with Christ, and he seated him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. God wants to raise us up to a place of honor. And he does that in Christ. And you know, sometimes that's a journey. You may be here today and you may be struggling with some of the words that have been spoken over you, or the words that you've spoken over yourself and what you believe about yourself. You may be wounded from your past. You may have some family wounds. You know, some people shared their testimony. And that is a journey sometimes, to find a place from shame to honor. It is a journey that we can go to, and you may feel worthless, but there is one who loves you beyond all measure. He can heal your mind. He can heal your soul. His love is so wide and so deep and so high and so long that we can't even comprehend it. And the Bible says he accepts us as his child, and he gives us a new name, and he rejoices over us with singing. And I know this truth. I know this to be true because I've experienced it in my life. And growing up in Corby, people don't say good things about Corby. And, you know, I came from a really loving family, but not one that's full of confidence. And I've got a big brother who can talk a lot, and he is very loud, and so he could talk for me, and I was happy to remain in the shadows. I was happy to remain quiet. If you can believe it, my school report said that she doesn't talk enough. It's hard to believe now, but a lot of that was to do with how I saw myself. I was full of shame, and that there are some people here today who were part of my journey as a teenager to be able to discover what God said about me, and it changed my life. When I realized how much God loved me, not just in my head, but in my heart, it changed me. I knew that he could wipe away my past, and that I could be clean, and that I was a daughter of the King. And then I felt like I was like, okay, God, what are we going to do now? Not out of, I've got to earn my way to God, but out of, okay, he loves me. So what are we going to do, God? What are we going to do together? This is an exciting journey that we can go on. So we can move from a place to shame, from shame to honor. And that's often as we draw close, as we go from far to close, that we can go from that place of shame to honor. And the third thing, and these are all like really closely related, but Mephibosheth came from a place of rejection to acceptance. And as I said earlier, he said, what is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me? But then it goes on to say, Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. And David overlooked his limitations. Mephibosheth had nothing to give him that to speak of. He had nothing. He had no wealth. He was living in poverty. And David said, well, we'll provide for you. But he didn't just say, okay, come in and be my servant, or come in and I'll see you right. You'll be fine. But he said, no, I want him at my table as one of my sons. And it says right at the end of the passage that we read that he always ate at the king's table. He always ate at the king's table. He was treated as one of his sons. David just didn't want to provide for him and do something nice because maybe, you know, he had this, you know, person once before. He wanted to have relationship with him. He wanted to have friendship with him. I think there's something quite beautiful when you are invited to someone's house for dinner and you sit around their table. It's kind of a real honor, isn't it? And you get to have a relationship with them. You get to laugh together and talk together. And you can see that picture. And you know, we can go from a place of rejected to a place of acceptance. In Romans 8 verse 15, it said, "The spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you can live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father." Love that verse. We are adopted as his children. You're a son or a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No matter what your earthly dad was like, you are adopted as his child, and he loves you and he invites you. There's so many times where it says, you know, come to the banqueting table and be with God and spend time with him. He's prepared a place for us. And I've just felt like God was just wanting to remind us today that first and foremost, following Jesus is about relationship with God, and it's about following him and getting to know him more and more. And it's from that place. And, you know, I say this to all the people who have been baptized today. It's from that place, a friendship with God, that we can move from shame to honor and from rejection to acceptance. It's from that place. And it's from that place that then we get to serve God and be on an adventure with him. Today, for those people who are being baptized, it's just part of the journey. It's just part of this bigger picture. And I felt yesterday morning I got up, and I'm just kind of going to do a slight diversion here, but I felt like God was giving us as Hope Church an invitation. And if you're a guest here with us today, you know, I believe that God is doing something wonderful in our nation and that he is inviting you too on a journey. I feel like as we are so busy and so distracted in our culture that it's really hard for us to stop and be still and be with God. And he's been really challenging me on this. And I feel like he's been inviting us. And as I was looking at Jesus' baptism, and Jesus in being baptized was setting himself apart and saying, okay, I am ready, God, for what you're going to do with me, for the mission that you are going to do in my life. And then it said the Spirit led him into the desert. And he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. And he fasted and prayed. And he was preparing himself for the mission that God had for him. And on Tuesday, it's Pancake Day. Make sure you get pancakes in. But after that, it's Shrove Tuesday. And we, as you know, a Pentecostal church, we probably don't talk about Lent very much. But the period of Lent starts on Ash Wednesday, which is Wednesday this week. And it's a time when we remember when Jesus went in the desert and fasted. But it's also a time when we prepare ourselves for Easter. And we were talking as an eldership a few weeks ago about we believe that God's got something wonderful and mighty for this church, but we feel that we need to prepare the way. Like John the Baptist, when he was calling people to be baptized, he was preparing the way. He was asking people to prepare their lives for what God was going to do. And I feel that God is giving us an invitation to prepare the way for what God wants to do in this town, in this area, and in our lives. And so I feel like he's inviting us to the table to just be with him. So I feel like a little challenge of, look, we've got the next couple of days, there's going to be an invite that goes out on social media. If you follow us and if you've given us permission to email you, we'll email you an invite to join with us as a church to maybe think about and pray and say, God, what is it that's distracting me that you want me to give up? Not giving up chocolate so you can feel more healthy. That is not what, you know, it's not what Lent's meant to be about. It's meant to be fasting something that God tells you to fast so you can focus more on him. And for me, I've been, just to share a bit of testimony, I've just been not putting my phone on before I spend time with God in the morning so I don't get distracted. Because sometimes when I'm praying, I think about people and I think, oh, I'll just text them just to make sure they're all right. And like, it's so distracting and it's like my brain is everywhere all the time. And I've just been really mindful of the amount of time that like my body just reaches for my phone. It's like I've trained my body, like many of us have, that we just do it naturally out of habit. And God's been challenging me about it. And I've been like trying to cut down on my screen time, and I don't spend that much time on phones comparing with some people, but it's not, I'm not comparing myself to other people. I'm asking God what he wants to do and what I need to set aside for him. So There's an invitation for you to maybe fast with us in some way. That doesn't necessarily mean food, but just so you can focus on him, because we want to move as a church towards Jesus and become more passionate disciples, don't we? And we become more passionate disciples by moving towards Jesus from far to close. And and as we do, we want to do that as a loving community. And as we do, we will become to the point where we are living missionally. And a few weeks ago, I had a word that God has put a mandate on this church for this area to bring the presence of God to this town, to show the power of God on display, and to proclaim the word of God clearly in this town. And we need to be set apart and ready to do that. And we need to be praying that will happen. So I'm inviting you to join us. So, just to sum up today, we've talked about a journey of Mephibosheth, that he went from far off to close because of the grace of King David. And God can take us from far off to close. We just need to draw near to him. And I just extend that invite to you. If you don't know God, he's, whoever you are and from whatever background you are in, God loves you and he wants to know you. And God can take us from a place of shame to a place of honor. He can take our guilt and heal us of our negative thoughts we've had. That might be a part of a journey. We might need some help with that. There are people in this church who can help you on that journey, in life groups, in Celebrate Recovery. But we can take every thought captive and believe what he says above us about the lies that we believe about ourselves. And thirdly, God can take us from a place of rejection to a place of acceptance in God. And we can just come and know him as our Father in heaven and be the sons of God that we were called to be. So maybe the worship band could come back if they could. And could we just where you are right now, just close your eyes. And we just want to just invite you to become aware of his presence, not the buzzing on the sound, but Jesus is here. And the Bible says as we draw close to him, he will draw close to us. And so we draw close to you, Lord, and we ask you, Lord, I ask you, Lord, that if there's anything that's distracting us, that you would call us to lay aside as we approach Easter. If there's something that's popped into your head, it may be the thing that God's asking you to lay aside and to join with us on that journey. God is inviting you to come on that journey with him.
This morning, I always think with when you hear messages like that the Holy Spirit is moving across this room, and different people are going to have heard different things this morning, and you're going to have been moved in ways perhaps that I wasn't moved. It might be that today the big thing for you is that you feel distant from God, that you feel far off from God, and God's calling you home. He's calling you near, he's calling you close, and he loves you so much. And so the response for you today is to say, Lord, I can see where I am and I know where I want to be. Lord, would you just bring me home? And you're saying, Lord, I want to give you my life. And that might be for the first time. You might not be a Christian yet. Or it might be that you're a Christian and you just feel that your life has drifted somewhat and you're some distance from where you once were and you want to come back to Jesus. So that's your response this morning. It might be that when Faye was speaking about shame, that you just knew that was a word for you this morning. And you needed to hear that when God looks at you, he doesn't want you to live under condemnation and in a place of shame any longer. But he wants to bring you to a place of honor, that he honors you and wants you as his child to enter into that place of knowing that you are honored, not living anymore under shame. So that's the word for you. And your response this morning is to say, Lord, I feel ashamed. I've been living in shame. That's where my life has camped. And I don't want to live in this place of shame anymore. So I'm deciding today to come to you, Jesus. And you're going to bring me out of shame into a place of honor. And it might be that this morning there are some people in the room and you felt rejected from people. You know, it might be that you feel rejected by your relatives or your friends, or for many reasons over the years you've just felt that people have rejected you. But today the Lord is inviting you to come near, and instead of rejection there is acceptance. And the place that you find your acceptance isn't in the approval of other people, but in the approval and the love and the compassion of your Heavenly Father. And your response today is just to come to Him for acceptance instead of rejection. I'm going to invite Angela to come. She'll explain why in a second. And then after she's spoken, I'm going to invite those of you who want to respond to God to come to the front. I feel like today, you know, we can respond in our seats and we can respond in all sorts of different ways, but I feel like today we need to make a stand. And so I'm going to invite those of you who feel that the Holy Spirit's been talking to you in any of those three areas just to come to the front. So Angela, would you just share?
Janine actually had written a little testimony, and I had the privilege of reading that. She didn't actually read it today, but there was a bit in it that I really feel, from what Faye shared, would be really good to share. She did give the first part, which was that she grew up with an alcoholic father, and she was living in constant competition with her younger sister, as she was his favourite, and he always made sure that Janine knew that. That led her into really quite a miserable life for many years, until recently. And then she almost concluded her testimony with saying, without the faith and trust in God, I couldn't have done the things that she's recently had to deal with. I finally can say that my Father loves me for me, my Heavenly Father.
Okay, so I feel like I'm going to stand aside. Holy Spirit, would you just come now? Would you just come and would you minister to people's hearts? And as people make their way to the front now, Lord, I pray that some people today will be set free, Lord God, and brought from a place of being far away to a place of feeling close, Father, from a place of shame to a place of honor, and Lord God, from a place of rejection to a place of acceptance. Holy Spirit, would you just begin to move right across this room in people's hearts, Lord God, and do what only you can do. In Jesus' name.